morning. Please turn in the scripture to Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and following. It's also printed for you in your bulletin. Mary is, at this point, 3 months pregnant with the Messiah, and now has headed off to the hill country to tell her cousin Elizabeth. Let's see what kind of mood Mary is in. Please stand as we read from the Word of the Lord. Luke 1, 46 and following from the English Standard Translation. Hear and receive the Word of God. Mary said to Elizabeth, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And then the 56th verse says, "And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home." May God bless his words this morning before us. Please be seated. This morning, where is it that you hurt? Where is it that you hurt? What is it that is of most concern to you? This is a question that has been asked throughout the ages. We have all, since the fall of mankind, we have all felt our brokenness. And it takes on different forms in different seasons. That's why we love to hear stories about heroes. Heroes who have risen from the ashes or have reached out and helped someone else to rise up. That's why many of us remember certain important historical figures like Joan of Arc, or Alexander the Great, Davy Crockett, one of my favorites, Daniel Boone, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther himself. For many of us, these are heroes to us, and for various reasons, and they inspire us. They give us hope. They give us the possibility of a dream come true. And how much we need that when we're hurting. And we draw from these people strength. And if we can't find any in history, we make up our own, like Batman or Spider-Man or Superman. Kind of out of touch with what the latest is these days, but Superman's one of the latest for me. And no doubt we love them for the same reasons. Because they come to the rescue at just the right time. And so as we look at this text, we could argue from the lesser to the greater. If we find joy from fictional heroes like Superman. And if we find joy and satisfaction from human heroes like Davy Crockett or Abraham Lincoln, how much more should we be filled with joy this season? How much more our joy when our hero is God, our Savior? Notice Mary's words in the 46th verse as she speaks to Elizabeth. And Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Here she is, 3 months pregnant, telling her dear cousin. And then she says in the 47th verse, "And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." How much joy ought we to have this season as we consider the hero that Mary speaks of when in those few words there in that 47th verse. Can you say it together? "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Let's do it again. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." What is it that concerns you this season? We look at this text, it's very helpful to me personally when I think about Mary and how her hero was up close and personal to her. I was online looking for how you might describe a 3-month pregnant woman, 3 months along, and used the word perhaps a bump. Mary probably could feel the bump here, and if not this month, the next. And had you been there, you could have taken photographs in the 5th month or 6th, and some people put them on the wall. You see how mom is coming along and how baby is indeed up close and quite personal. God's salvation is not in the abstract, folks. It's not just in a book. But here we see it's in the life of a person, in Mary. And I want you to notice those personal words she uses. Notice she's not afraid to say "me" and "my." "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." In the 48th verse, "He has done great things for me." He's done great things for me. Can you say that under your breath to yourself? "He has done great things for me." It's great to be going into a season when the one we're looking toward does great things for us personally, up close, and quite real. It's not just about the picture on the Christmas card. It's not just about people portraying what we're going to see a little later on today in the Nativity. Little kids dressed up, and I hope we get a lot of helpers to put these kids in costumes and recreate the story. And as we think about recreating, we see the reality of these little children, but just as real as the little child is coming to help Mary and the rest of us. And the idea of Mary carrying a Savior was not just in Mary's head, as nice as that is to have that thought in your head. It's nice to have it in your heart. Mary carried the Savior in her body, in her womb. And now she's 3 months into the adventure that she would have for another 6 and then thereafter. So the creed says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary." Mary's salvation didn't come just on her own, but God brought it down from above, conceived by the Holy Spirit, just as God brings His salvation down to us this season, in any season, for you who are willing to believe in the joyous message that God's bringing to us. She doesn't initiate this pregnancy on her own, but it's quite real, and it's quite personal. And you say, well, we don't carry the baby Jesus living inside of us, do we? But we do have His Spirit, and that's what we're told. We're told in John 14, Jesus tells His followers, and would tell you who believe in Him this morning or trusting in Him, He would tell us, I will not leave you as orphans. In your pain and your hurt, you're not left as an orphan. He says, whoever loves Me, My Father and I will take up our dwelling in them. God comes to live in us who believe. In fact, and Paul says later on, as he interprets much of the life of Christ from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the epistles, fill out what those stories are about theologically. And he tells us that anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to Christ. And so if we are trusting in this one that was being born in this story, then we have Him up close and personal. His Spirit is in us, or we don't belong to Him. That's what the Scripture teaches us. And as He said elsewhere, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why can you have joy even when you're hurting this season? Because you have a rescuer who is coming into the world, and He is up close and personal, right within you through faith. That is, if you're receiving Him this season with a humble heart. If you read the rest of the story, you go down to the next section of verses there, you'll see that the story has little or no value at all to those who think they don't need Mary's child, to those who have lifted themselves up and think that we are in a position, okay, independent of God intervening in history, time, and space. Look at what he says in 52 and 51 and following. Says He, God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted who? He's exalted those who are of humble estate. We could roughly interpret Mary's words as being, God is bringing His Son into the world. But guess what? God's going to resist the proud, in fact, overthrow them through this Son. But He's going to give grace to you who are willing to humbly receive Him. As Phillips Brooks said in his hymn 150 years ago, how silently the wondrous gift is given. God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming. But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him, the dear Christ enters in. How beautiful. Meek souls receiving the grace of Christ. As we think about these words spoken in the 52nd verse, where He exalts those of humble estate, we realize what Mary's condition was, humanly speaking. We'll see later on in the next chapter, chapter 2, when they take the child to the temple, and we begin to see that as she and her husband present their offering at the temple, they offer two small birds instead of the typical goat or the lamb. And that was the offering of the poor. A poor family couldn't afford to give up a huge animal. Maybe didn't have one at all. Access, couldn't purchase one. But maybe they could get together enough to get a couple of pigeons to offer those doves or pigeons. So we see, outwardly speaking, that God comes to a poor family like Mary and Joseph. And as you begin to read the story, as we have over the years, we realize that God has a heart for the poor and for the humble. And it's not that we're any better, but there's a lesson to be learned, that we must receive Him as if we are poor. Without Him, you are bankrupt. You do understand that, don't you? And because of your rebellious heart like mine, our hearts that turn astray, we basically are in serious trouble. So we live in a world. Sometimes we bring the hurt to ourselves. Sometimes we've just inherited the problems and the hurt because of things in the past, or maybe simply because we're children of the first two parents who carried the whole genetic race. So we've inherited this terrible condition, and we need a solution. And a lot of times we feel the pain, we feel the pointedness of our problem in a specific real way because we're hurting inside. But you know what? It's a beautiful season. And amidst your anguish, there's a joy that's yours as you humbly receive Him into your life in a renewed way this season. Mary knew how to receive the Lord. She didn't quite understand how it was possible that she could give birth to the Messiah. She says, I've never known a man. What's going to be going on here without a relationship with a human being? And God says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And at the end of it, she's probably still scratching her head, trying to figure this out, how you can have a baby, just like, there it is. It just shows up one day and grows like any other baby. And her response in Luke 1:38, she says, I'm the Lord's servant. There's humility. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your will. Lord, what do you want from me? You want me to give birth to a baby independently? Give birth to Messiah? And how are you going to possibly even raise the Messiah? Like he'll be teaching you. You won't be teaching him much, so to speak. And said, here am I. If that's what you, that's my role in life, I'll do it. There's humility. We are servants of God. You know, I love that little drummer boy song. It's a fictional song, right? So people say, why is the minister talking about fiction? And we've always already brought in Superman, for one thing. But why is he bringing in fiction in the sermon? Because we want reality, and we do, you know? But you think, as you read it, it captures the spirit of in these verses here that Mary's speaking about. The need for us to realize that we are lowly people in need, and we really need God's help and have little or nothing to offer, really. And so the little drummer boy sings next to Mary, who's also poor, and he sings, I'm a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give our king. So shall I play for you? Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, on my drum. Mary nodded. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. The ox and lamb kept time. I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And then he smiled at me. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Me and my drum. You know, I believe God this season smiles upon you who humbly receive Him in your broken condition. Realize that, Lord, I really am like lost without you. But here I am, and somehow touch me with your joy because I know you're sufficient. That's the beautiful thing about this story, that Mary doesn't really bring anything to the table. I mean, she's a poor Galilean girl, doesn't have much to offer, and yet God wants her, and God wants to bless her in a personal way, as he does you and me. And let me give you one more touch of this humility, I think. Some of you have been watching the CMA Awards recently, earlier, or last month. And what does humility look like? If you want to see it in a real practical way, if we're going to be blessed this season, this is the kind of attitude we need if we're going to have a joy. As the songwriter Laurie McKenna says through Tim McGraw's mouth, go to church because your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. It won't be a waste of time. Always stay humble and kind. Hold the door. Say please and thank you. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget to turn back around and help the next one in line. Stay humble and kind. And if you need a couple words from Scripture to keep you humble, to increase your joy, God's the potter, you're the clay. The Lord's the shepherd, you're the sheep gone astray. Christ is the vine, you're the branch. Without him, you can do nothing. Jesus said elsewhere when the little child grew up, he said, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick do. I hope you feel your sickness. What I mean, your brokenness. And then Jesus added, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. That's the point of a hero. He doesn't come to people who don't need any help, to people who are lost and can't get out. He's come to put things right. And that's why we can take joy this season, because we have our humble hearts believe that someone real, someone up close and personal, is coming into the world to help us in an individual way, to help those around who would also receive him. And then you see these final couple verses here. We can choose joy because God remembers his mercy. Do you know that? We forget a lot of things. But God doesn't forget things, and he doesn't forget any promises he makes. And Mary points out that he has helped his servant, verse 54, in remembrance, get it, in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. What she's saying is that the Savior, I'm 3 months pregnant, the Savior is finally coming. He's bringing us his mercy, just like he said 1,800 years before, and I'm the one that's going to participate in blessing the world and the people around me. How beautiful that God doesn't forget his promises to send us his mercy. And that's why I'm glad we have this tradition of Christmas. Because it reminds us that God remembers to be, he is remembering to be merciful to us according to his promises. And let me just add one more verse there in Galatians 3:29. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, and you are heirs according to the promise. Do you get that? If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, and you are heirs according to the promise. In other words, Mary is carrying the child for you, and that child is going to do something marvelous for us. And so we can say, along with Mary, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And as we move toward closing this out, by the way, do you remember praying for things that you now actually have? I heard my 13-month-old grandson just started walking last week. You know, I think some people were like hoping that someday that would happen. You know, well, it seems like pretty quick to me, but you know, you want the next step to happen. Do you remember wanting to finish up your schooling? You actually graduated. Remember dreaming about that? You remember wanting to get your first job, and you got it? You remember dreaming about wanting your first boyfriend or girlfriend? I know some of you don't have one yet, but remember that? You remember wanting to get your first driver's license and longing to have it? Maybe your first car, your first house? Some of you still wanting that. But all these things we prayed and longed for, and we've got them. 1,800 years before Mary, people were praying and longing for someone to come to rescue them from their broken condition. Romans 13:11 says, "And our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The Lord has come to bring us joy. The Lord has come to bring us joy, and the Lord will come again. And 1 Peter 1:8, as you saw earlier in the service, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith. Excuse me. The salvation of your souls. Salvation of your souls. We're receiving it. And our hurt will be gone. We'll see some of our old friends and loved ones have long gone. Meet them again. Sorry. So the season when the traffic is painfully bumper to bumper, say what Mary said. You can say it. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. When the traffic's painfully bumper to bumper to bumper, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. When there's not enough time nor money to buy gifts, say with Mary, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. And when the doctor's report doesn't look so good, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. No matter what the season, how painful it might be at times, take joy. Our hero is coming to rescue us, and he's closer now than he has ever been. Take joy. It won't be long. Christmas will soon be here.